Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
No, it's not.
Could be.
No.
Fine.
This is something else. This is a podcast where we talk about cats, different types of cats, which are the best types of cats, and why we love them.
Stay tuned. Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the seventh season of Doctor Who, The Ambassadors of Death. Of Death!
Stop being dramatic, that's how it is in the episode.
Yeah, the title pops up, it's like, The Ambassadors
of Death!
There's like a loud noise.
And then there's an explosion and a guitar solo.
And the
Those bits are lies.
The Doctor just comes out with his electric guitar.
Just lightning.
Just lightning everywhere. The serial consists of seven episodes that aired from March 21st, 1970 to May 2nd, 1970.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for getting us these episodes. You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. Thanks, Matt!
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
I stole your line.
You did. I was pissed. I was like, what am I going to say now?
You repeated it.
I didn't come up with anything else.
It's a known fact that if you repeat things, the more you repeat things, the funnier they are.
That's a joke. You just repeated for four people.
What?
Three of who don't even listen to this podcast, let's be honest.
I'm letting our entire audience know now that the more you repeat things, the funnier they are. So in case you missed it, the more you repeat things, the funnier they are. Thanks, Matt. You're the best.
Can we, like, get this podcast started or something? Can we talk about Doctor Who? Is that...
I don't know. Maybe.
You want to talk about our favorite kinds of cats?
Guys, let's talk about the death of the... No. The Wait, which way is it? The Ambassadors of the Death.
Why are you having... What was that? Was that a bit?
I almost said the death of
Are you okay?
I thought it was the death of the Ambassadors for a second. It's not. It's the Ambassadors of Death.
The Ambassadors, dramatic pause,
of death. They work for the Grim Reaper, right? That's what this is about. This was a pseudo-pilot for Dead Like Me. They all hang out in a German Waffle House. That's what this entire episode is. Brian Fuller ripped Doctor Who off. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Can we talk about the episode, though?
All right.
I've had enough of your nonsense, sir.
Can we have some sense? Tony gave a very evil glare.
Anytime Joe tells any kind of joke and there's a moment of silence afterwards, it's because I am giving him a very dirty look.
You cut out all the moments of silence. You don't want dead air on the radio.
You gotta leave them a little bit.
Sometimes.
You just shorten them.
If it's one of those moments, yeah. But generally, I cut out silence because dead air does not make for good radio podcasts. Radio podcasts.
Radio podcasts.
Podcast killed the radio star. All right, let's talk about it. Episode one, which I have titled Sound of Death. We open up on a shot of a guy we've seen before. Well, actually, it starts with the astronaut, doesn't it?
He's in space. Being an astronaut, doing some astronaut things.
And then we cut to the command, like the center or whatever, that's talking to the astronaut. And that guy is familiar. He played a Dominator in The Dominators. The one who was always like, no, you can't destroy things. That guy, he's back, but he's not the same character. This time his name is Cornish. He runs this place. He's the guy that when the Doctor shows up, is like, I'm with you, Doctor. And then, you know, we'll also have the guy that's like, no, I don't like you, Doctor. So look out for those characters. So the capsule is going to rendezvous with something that was coming from Mars, I believe.
Yes.
Right? I think it was another capsule.
Yes.
Which is supposed to have... I don't remember this episode.
More stuff in it.
And guys, this is a teaser. This is our first ever teaser.
You're like so, I don't know. You having such a strong emotion about it.
I don't know. I think it's the only time. I don't think like the next serial has teasers or anything. It's just this serial.
Just the serial?
Yeah. You know, they're talking about stuff and then they're like, something took off from Mars and then boom, title, Ambassadors of Death. And we have that for every episode of the serial, except for the future episodes. It's not new material. It's always a recap of the cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's where your recap goes right before the title.
I like that. I wish they'd do that more often. I think it's effective. A news program fills us in on what's happening, and I don't remember what it is.
I feel weird about the news program, because it's not like you're seeing
a TV.
The news anchor is like a character in the serial, and so you're just seeing him recording his bit.
Right into the camera.
Yeah, but he's looking at you, and I don't like it. It makes me feel very uncomfortable. Every time I'm like, will you please stop looking at me? Someone tell this fictional character he is not supposed to be making eye contact with me.
Also, the way he talks is incredibly boring, so I have no idea what he said. I know he's like getting across vital information, but I'm just like,
I'm sorry, this what? Sounds like news.
Exactly.
We have no idea what is actually happening.
Behind him is a giant view screen. I guess the capsule has cameras that's relaying their image to Earth. But it's a big old blue screen. What is known as...
Oh, Jesus.
A blue screen.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. Were you expecting color separation overlay?
How did you think that sounded?
Sexy.
That is, in fact, what you were going for.
Hey, ladies, color separation overlay. Yeah.
That's your sexy voice.
That's how I got you, right?
That's when you imagine someone speaking sexily. That's exactly how you imagine it.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to do the sexy stuff? That is a sneak peek into our lives. Just saying, that's the stuff Tony likes.
All right.
I'm sorry to air this publicly.
We're done here.
I know you wanted to keep this secret, but the public needs to know.
I'm officially declaring this bit over. I'm putting an end to this bit.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, it's color separation overlay.
Fuck, man.
Can you go on? Are you okay? Did I get you too worked up?
Oh my god. For the love of god, what happens next in this fucking serial?
We cut to what we thought for a second was the interior of the TARDIS, and we all got excited, but it's not.
I was like, why does the Doctor's TARDIS look like somebody's grandma's house?
Which, to be fair, why does... It's a lab.
It's a lab. But so why does his lab look like somebody's grandma's house?
So the Doctor's taken the TARDIS console out of the TARDIS and moved it to this grandmother's lab.
There's like a little round window. I swear.
It's like stained glass or something.
Stained glass. Yeah, there's like doilies. I might have imagined the doilies, but I feel like they were there.
It's like this, I can't remember if it's blue or green.
Do we just think it looks like somebody's grandma's house because it looks like a house from the 70s?
It could be that.
Isn't that what's happening here?
It might be what's happening. Why did he take the TARDIS console out of the TARDIS? I mean,
because
I know it's because they
don't have
the TARDIS set yet. So he's working on the TARDIS console, and then there's an incredibly awesome, adorable scene where him and Liz Shaw both time travel.
Yes.
Like 5 seconds into the future.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit of time travel. Like, hey guys, remember when that used to happen?
Yeah. She like jumps forward. She just goes boop and disappears. And the Doctor's like, oh no, I gotta fix it. And then he disappears. And then she reappears. And then he reappears.
He's like, what happened? You disappeared. And he's like, no, you disappeared. Which is the great thing about this too is that Liz Shaw is still very skeptical about everything. She's still Liz Shaw. So when the Doctor's like, you just time traveled, Liz is like, okay. And he's like, no, really, think about it. Liz is like, I don't know. I don't know about this. But also, when has he been wrong?
So technically, Liz Shaw is 5 seconds younger than she ought to be.
Yes, she is.
Because I think this might be the only time she time travels.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I think we lose her pretty soon.
How soon is it?
It might be the end of the season. I'm not certain.
Wow.
But, like, she never got traveled in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
So how is she a companion?
She just is a companion. But she counts.
Does it?
Yeah, I don't know.
So does that mean you count Sarah Kingdom? Some people do.
I know some people do. I don't know. I could see how people like wanting her to count as a companion.
The Brig as a companion?
Yeah, obviously.
Does he ever travel in the TARDIS?
I don't think traveling in the TARDIS is important. I think just being his friend.
Well, I mean, he makes friends every serial. I don't know what the quality
is. I feel
like,
for me, you have to be in it for more than one serial.
That's fair. Sarah Kingdom was only in one serial.
I was
going to
say, that leaves out Sarah Kingdom. I love Sarah Kingdom, but I don't know if she counts as a companion. But also, I'm not going
to
like...
fair, she was in a fucking long ass serial.
I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. If someone says, well, I feel like Sarah Kingdom ought to be a companion, and here are my reasons why, I'll be like, that sounds fair.
I mean, I think she was in more episodes than Katarina was, so...
Yeah.
Possibly. I could be wrong about that, but I don't know.
If you're only in one serial, then I feel like you're a side character for that serial.
So, would you count the... what's his name? Adam?
Yes, I have feelings about Adam.
We'll get there. We'll get there. In about, 18 years? No, it probably won't be 18. Who knows? Doctor, who knows? That's dumb. Forget I said that.
Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Meanwhile, the capsule's about to dock with this other capsule from Mars. And we have the greatest docking music ever created.
All of the music in this serial is fantastic. None of it's fitting. But it's great.
It feels like what they were very much trying to do was imitate the music and stuff from 2001 A Space Odyssey, but not well. Like, they were doing it with stock music. Because it's very reminiscent of 2001, but just thoroughly inappropriate. Instead of, classical music, it's, very 70s music.
There's something
it's like pseudo-classical.
All music is very bouncy. Even in tense moments, the music is very bouncy. Although sometimes in comical moments, they'll play very tense music.
I don't know who scored this, but I love them. It does not fit, but it somehow works.
Yeah, you're you watch it and you're like, yeah, that's right.
That feels good.
Something about the fact that it doesn't fit feels good.
It's like jazz.
I don't know what that means.
Jazz, is music that isn't music, but feels right.
I mean, jazz is definitely music.
It's noise that's like music.
No.
Certain types of jazz. Not all jazz.
It's still music. You can't say that it's not music.
Technically, it's music.
Okay. Shows jazz opinions.
I'm not even saying I dislike jazz.
The way you're talking about it, it's like, it's weird that I like jazz, seeing as how it sucks so much.
Exactly. No, it sucks in a way that works.
I don't...
It's off and not right, but it works, you know?
I'm frustrated in that I agree with what you're saying, but object to how you're saying it. Because you seem to be saying it works despite of itself. In spite?
No, it works because that's what it's doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
it's purposefully doing
it. It sounds like what you're saying is, it's kind of weird how jazz doesn't suck. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's very purposely sort of not doing typical musical things. You know what I mean?
Let's stop talking about jazz, since obviously neither one of us knows shit about jazz. And maybe let's talk about Doctor Who, which we know a little bit about.
Alright, we'll save that for our La La Land podcast. The Watchathon of La La Land. So the thing
about
docks.
Jazz for 10 minutes!
The thing.
Name one jazz musician.
John Coltrane.
Do you know that from La La Land?
Miles Davis. No, I know because I work at a Barnes & Noble Music. John Legend's in La La Land, but I don't actually know if he does jazz.
We have got to start talking about Doctor.
When you're right, you're right. So the thing docks on, and there's great music. Oh, the Doctor, I didn't catch it when we were watching it, but the Doctor straight up mentions, the Brig's not there. He's specifically mentions he may be off, blowing up Silurians. He's still mad about it.
I didn't hear that either. I mean, yeah. I don't remember that.
I think I missed it. But yeah, I was reading the Wikipedia page and it specifically said that. I'm like, oh shit, he's still
sore. He has
sore.
Not let that go.
But he's watching the newscast of the guy just staring into our souls. Liz brings him a drink and he does not drink it at all. And I thought it was funny because he holds it for a while and then just hands it back to her.
Which tips the scale in the who cut the doctor's sandwiches into little star shapes. It's starting to look like it was Liz.
We will solve this mystery by the end of the season. And then so that the capsule is, they've docked, and they're opening to the other capsule. It's trying to convey that he's in space, so he's moving slow. But it's just, they did not film it in slow-mo. They've, like, made it slow-mo in post, which just means it's choppy.
It's probably playing at, like, 15.
Yeah, because, like, it doesn't have a higher frame rate, which is what you need for, like, legit slow-mo. And it just, this effect does not work. Just saying. But he opens the thing, and then he screams, and there's a loud sound. The control base hears the sound, and the doctor knows that sound, he says.
He's like, heard it.
He doesn't remember it. I guess he still has that memory thing.
Yeah, he's not great at regenerations. They always leave him a little bit scrambled.
Yeah. Well, also he said, like, I think he implied that the Time Lords. His memory. Yeah. I don't know. But he's like, I know that sound, but I can't remember it. So he's going to go and check it out at the base. Or at the command center. I'm just going to call it a base because that's what I'm...
It's a base.
It's a base.
Space base.
So the news reporter starts interviewing a guy that I want to talk about for a second. His name is Taltalian. He has a tremendous beard and a ridiculous accent.
Which we have decided...
is French.
Yes. Right? Right.
I feel like it was touchy at the beginning. It could have been Russian or it could have been French.
At the beginning, we could not place it. And I think as it went on, I was like, that is definitely a person attempting to do a French accent.
Maybe it's a guy doing a legit French accent.
Oh, yeah, we never looked it up. We were watching it. We couldn't decide. We're like, this accent's all over the place. I don't know what it's supposed to be. And I was like, I swear we're going to look it up. And it's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's just played by a French guy. And we're going to be like,
whoa,
we don't know shit. But we didn't look it up.
Maybe he's supposed to be Italian. His name was Taltalian.
That was definitely not someone trying to do an Italian accent.
He is pretty tall, too, so maybe that's just a nickname. He's the tall Italian.
He's the tall Italian. No, I'm pretty sure he's trying to do a French accent.
Don't remember what he says. I just wanted to comment on his accent. They no longer have communications with the astronaut in the capsule. They were, he may be dead, but he might not be dead.
He could be fine.
He could be fine.
We don't know.
So, but then the doctor shows up, and he comes up out of a... I don't know, like a shaft or something. I don't know what it is. He's like climbing up a ladder or something. And he's yelling down like, no, I don't have a pass. Why? Because I don't give a shit. I'm the doctor. And then he twirls his cape. So then the sound plays again. And the doctor's like, I want to decode that sound. And then they're like, why do we know it's a message? He's like, because I'm the doctor. And then we hear it again. And he's like, that is not the same sound. That is a different sound. That is a reply. But it's even coming from a different place. And they're like, yeah, it is coming from a different place. How'd you know? And he's like, I'm the doctor. I know shit. Also, it's in the script. They're like trying to figure out what to do about the capsule up in space. And it's like going to take 10 days to send another capsule.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that. They just want it now. Who wants to wait 10 days? So they try to pinpoint where the reply signal is coming from so they can track that down. And it's in London. So the doctor's like, well, let me pull up the maps on your super awesome computers. And all he can get is maps of, like, planets. He's like, does it not do London maps? And they're like, no, just planets. He's like, stupid fucking computers.
Yeah, Three is still very skeptical of computers. He shares that with Two. Although, Three uses them more often.
That's true.
He has to. He's on Earth. It's the most advanced stuff. And he, like, knows about them. Mm-hmm. Whereas Two was like, I don't even want to pretend to know about computers. I don't trust them.
I don't want computers telling me what to do. I think he knows about computers because he, like, futzes around with electronics all the time.
He knows about them, but for some reason, he has a very grumpy old attitude about them. Like, if you had somebody in your IT department who was like...
I think he's just distrustful of man-made things that are supposed to be intelligent.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's the computers and stuff that he distrusts as much as he does the people who made them.
That sounds right. I'll accept that.
So they find out that the signal is coming from an abandoned warehouse. And inside the abandoned warehouse is a Michael Palin looking motherfucker with a carnation on his jacket. So you know that he's evil.
I didn't know that. Do carnations denote evil people?
Yep. If you put a flower on your clothes.
Yeah.
Evil.
What about celery?
Celery's fine. That's a vegetable.
Okay. Just flowers.
Just flowers. Like, think about it. The Joker.
Mm-hmm.
End of list.
Well, you certainly make a compelling argument.
Sorry. The Joker and the guy from this episode. Right. Can you think of anybody else who wears flowers on their clothes?
Like, consistently? People going to prom?
Evil.
All kids who have ever gone to prom are evil?
Yeah. Specifically guys.
Well, girls wear them on their wrist.
Oh, do they? I don't know. I never went to prom.
Is that not evil? It's no. Only evil on, if it's pinned to your jacket.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be, like, above your
breast. Well, in weddings. Breast.
Does dudes have
fun? They had them in our wedding.
Did I? Yeah. I don't even remember. I was too busy getting married. Weddings don't count. Unless it's a movie, and there's the one guy with, like, an arched eyebrow who's going to disrupt the wedding. That guy counts. He's got a very distinct jawline and blonde hair.
Listen, I feel like...
Or dark black hair.
I'm not on board with this theory.
No, it checks out.
All right.
So the unit is coming, and he sends out one of his lackeys to go check it out. And he's like, don't kill anyone unless you have to. And then he just pulls out a gun.
And starts killing everybody.
Like, he pulls it out right in front of him, too. Like, he just said, don't kill anyone unless you have to, and you pull out a gun. And then a shootout happens, and it's great.
Yeah, it is, like, coordinated, and people are flipping around and falling on things and firing weapons. And
it's well choreographed.
Yes.
Whoever did this episode, who I don't even know who directed it, but whoever did, and whoever did, like, the stunts and the choreography, kudos. This is good. This is really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of fight scenes and shootouts and different things, and the action is really, really good.
Well done. Yeah. Well filmed. Everything. The rest of the episode could have stood to have more shootouts and things.
I get bored in action scenes.
I found out, like, this serial was a holdover. It was supposed to be a 2 serial.
That makes sense.
And apparently there was problems getting it converted to 3. Like, they had the guy rewrite it to be a 3, and he had difficulty with it. And they're, like, kept trying to rewrite it, and then they had to get, like, other people to rewrite it. And it had to be 7 episodes, and it was a whole big deal. So there was some behind-the-scenes trouble that I think shows a little bit. Not that this is a bad serial, no, necessarily, but it is a bit...
It could be tighter.
Yeah, a bit rough. So the one guy, the guy with the gun... Okay, there's this guy behind... Okay, let me just set the scene here. There's the guy with the gun. The brig is there, and he gets in that guy's crosshairs. So the guy with the gun has his gun on the brig. There's a guy behind the guy with the gun... about to hit him in the head with a thing. And the brig's like, now! Which calls his attention to it.
Yes. Terrible plan. Bad plan, brig.
So the guy gets out of the way and runs off. But then stops and then gives himself up to the brig. Because the brig pulls a gun on him and he, like, just stops and puts his hands up and then comes down to be arrested. And I'm not 100% certain why. Was there a reason for that?
I think it's implied that, like, they have more guns than he has, but, like...
Or is he wanting to be captured for specific reasons? Does he want to infiltrate?
No, because he doesn't.
Does he not? I don't remember. But the bad guy, the guy with the carnation, jumps out of a window after fiddling with this thing, and then the brig comes in, and then a bomb goes off right in his face.
Right in his face.
He's fine. He's a brig. And so the doctor's like, I need a computer to help me figure out this code. Cornish pulls up this screen. Tartalian appears on it. He's like, I'm going to send you the doctor. He's going to help you out. He wants to decode this thing. You're going to show him the computers and let your stuff. And Tartalian's like, okay. And then the screen goes away, but it's color separation overlay. The picture does not go down with the screen. It just stays put while the screen goes down.
The screen goes down.
Which is not how that would work if it was a real screen.
It's close. Close enough. They did good.
They tried. So he goes to the Tartalian's office, and he immediately pulls a gun on the doctor and Liz. And that is the cliffhanger. And we're like, whoa. That was sudden.
Time for cliffhanger already. All right. Okay.
That's the end of episode 1. We are now into episode 2. Capsule. Of death!
I will say this about the serial. There were a couple times where, like, we're watching the next one, right?
Yeah.
We gotta watch the next one, which doesn't all the time happen when you're marathoning Classic Who. A lot of times you're marathoning Classic Who and you're like, oof, I could really wait a week before we watch the next one.
I think we'll be getting better when it stops being 7-parters. Like, I think we have 1 more 7-parter, and then there's no more 7-parters for the entire run of 3.
But the cliffhangers, I think, are all fairly strong and in the serial, and you're always... They come fast, too, where you're like, oh God, okay.
That's actually been fairly consistent with 3 so far.
Yeah.
Just sudden, abrupt, not like in a bad way, but just like, oh shit, cliffhangers. Suddenly abrupt.
Like, that went south so fast.
Yeah, and it's just a quick cut to the credits instead of, like, slow fade out, you know?
Yeah. It really pushes you through to the next one when you're watching them the way we watch them.
The doctor has a tape recorded thing of the message in his hand, And he's the Tartaglian's like, I want it. Give it to me. He holds it out and it disappears from his hand into the future, I think.
No, not into the future. Because yeah. I think Liz asks him about it.
And he goes, oh, it's here. And then he holds his hand out and it appears again because he sent it into the future.
No, because Liz is like, didn't you send it in? Did you send it into the future? And he was like, no.
Did he say that?
That's a joke. That, like, she asked if he sent it into the future, and he was like, oh, no, that'd have been too complicated. I just did this other complicated science thing. Yeah. I swear that's the joke of the whole thing.
It may be.
All right.
But he wants the tape. He's very angry that he does not have it. Tartaglian is. The brig shows up, so Tartaglian grabs Liz, holds her hostage so he can get to the door. Then he runs off, but he leaves Liz behind. Thankfully, he did not kidnap her, though she will be kidnapped later. Stay tuned. And then, yeah, the doctor reappears the tape.
Which is a very, like, small attempt at being evil. Like, what's not very productive.
And then later, he's going to be working with them again, because he's like, I was told to do that. That's later. That gets a bit messy.
He's like, I had the orders.
I had to do it.
So I'll play nice with you now.
So the doctor and the brig go to question the guy who gave himself up. The interrogation's not going very well. He's not giving anything up. And then the doctor straight up starts, like, yelling at him. Like, stand to attention, and blah, blah, blah. He does, and he's like, ah, so we're working with a soldier.
Yeah, I liked that scene.
Meanwhile, the capsule is attempting to... It's coming back. It's coming to Earth. So they're like, I guess the astronauts are in there, and they're coming back. So...
Communications must have just been damaged, so...
Yeah, so they're probably fine. The guy's still being held, and they're bringing him something to drink, and a guy breaks him out and, like, knocks this cup into the guard's face hilariously. Like, oh! But it's all set to very inappropriate music. It's, like, sexy music.
It's very pornographic music. See, so he wasn't trying to infiltrate anything.
I don't know. So they're looking at, they've tried to decode the message, doesn't say anything, and there's this other scientist like, well, maybe it's just freak static. And the doctor's like, you're an idiot. So he's like, all right, I'm worried about something. Ask the computer what 2+2 is. And so Liz does. She's like, the computer says 2+2 is 5. And he's like, ah, Tartaglian fucked up the computers. So we gotta fix the computers if we want to decode the message. So finally, the capsule lands. Team unit goes there to pick it up. And they try to open the hatch.
Aw, team unit.
They try to open the hatch. They can't open the hatch. Meanwhile, Carnation guy is watching from a distance through binoculars while hiding in the bushes.
You know, like you do when you're evil.
See? Guys in bushes with binoculars and carnations on their jacket. Evil. Or a bird watcher.
90% of that.
Which, let's be fair, they're probably evil too. So they can't open the hatch and they figure it might be locked from the inside. So they're like, well, we'll have to take it back to the base and try to open it. So they do. And they start driving and driving. There's a long scene of them driving. This scene's boring. But then things get exciting. A helicopter. You know that one helicopter they have? A helicopter flies right over the truck that has the capsule on it. The people in the helicopter are, it's the Carnation guy. They have very weird masks. They look kind of like crossbones from Captain America. So they start throwing bombs on them. There's another shootout. Again, great shootout. The brig gets shot. The bad guys steal the capsule. They get the truck. One of the other bad guys takes off in the helicopter. And a unit soldier jumps onto the helicopter and is like trying to get in while it's taking off, and they push him off and he falls off.
All happens in like one shot.
Yeah, it's really impressive. It's really cool. Meanwhile, the doctor is not in this because Bessie has, like, it took him a while to get it started. So he's like way behind. He starts driving and he sees the truck coming and he's like, they're going the wrong way. So he like blocks the way. He just like pulls his car into the road and they stop and they're like, hey, get out of the way. And he's like, oh, I can't, my car's broke down, you want to help me get it out of the way and then you can go by? And they're like, all right, fine. They start pushing Bessie out of the way and he turns on a button that says anti-theft device. they stick
to it. Their hands are stuck into the car.
And then the doctor takes the truck with the capsule and drives off, which he just leaves them there.
He says it'll wear off.
Yeah, but I mean, they get away because of that. And he's like, oh man, I guess I need to fix my car. They're not sticking as long as they're supposed to.
It was supposed to hold them for longer.
It cuts to inside the base and the brig is talking about how, telling somebody like they got stolen, we're going to have to find it and blah, blah, blah. And then he walks in and the castle's right there. He's like, what?
The doctor walks in ever so smug.
Then the brig brings him down a little bit by like, he's like, because the doc's like, well, didn't you get the bad guys attached to my car? And they're like, no, we found your car. That's it. He's like, oh, shit.
But they still can't get into the capsule. They're talking to him. They're trying to get them to, the only way to open the capsule is to open it from the inside. And so they're like, you guys, what's happening in there? Could you open that shit up or what?
At some point here, they talk to a higher up who's, there's always a higher up. His name is James. Sir James? They call him Sir James a lot. I don't know what that means. But he's not very helpful because they're trying to do something. I don't remember what it is. But he's not very helpful. And the reason he's unhelpful is because he's evil. Because they leave and his closet door opens and Taltalian's in there. Just hiding out, I guess. But yeah, Liz is trying to talk, get the communications going. Finally, she gets... It starts working. They can talk to the people in the capsule. They start asking for clearance for re-entry. And they're like, you're here. You're already here.
You re-entered.
And they just keep repeating themselves. Which, if we've learned anything, repeating something is always funny. Things get funnier anytime you repeat them.
No.
It's not funny here. It's kind of creepy. It won't answer to anything else. It just keeps saying, asking for clearance for re-entry.
The doctor grabs it and he's like, what are the questions that he asks it?
I can't remember, but it was really funny.
How many is four? He asked a question like that.
How many potatoes are four? Something like that, yeah.
Something very nonsensical.
And they're just like, requesting clearance for re-entry. And he just goes, cut it open! Because they didn't want to cut it open because it could have been bad.
Yeah, well, they could have, they were like, buy it while they were cutting it open.
It could have been catastrophe. Yeah. So he says, cut it open, and we cut two credits.
That's it. That's the end of
episode two. We're now into episode three, which I have called Radiation of Not Death.
Radiation of Not Death?
Not Death.
Tell me more.
What a twist, huh? I'll tell you more. We'll get there. So they cut it open. It's empty. It's a pre-recorded message. There's like a tape player that's playing the thing. So like, the astronauts have been kidnapped. Oh, no. And inside the capsule, it's radioactive, so he can't go in there. You know what?
What?
I think he did want to be captured because he is there and he's kidnapped. He's taken the astronauts.
He has taken the astronauts, but that's not when they did it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. But he wouldn't. He didn't get caught all the way back then to do that.
Maybe he did. I don't know.
No, because their plan was to just find the capsule in the first place.
Right. So wait, how did he get the astronauts? When did he get the astronauts?
They got the astronauts when...
I don't remember when they got them.
They got them before... After they moved the capsule to the base.
After they moved the capsule to the base? Or before? Wait, what?
After.
After.
Because there are people at the base who are evil.
Taltalian and Sir James.
So they just got them out of the capsule when it was sitting there. Before the brig and everybody got back.
Alright. So that happened.
Is this where Liz gets a costume change? I feel like she has four of them in this serial.
He's taken them to... He has them in a special room, and they are not dead. He's like, but they're really radiant. They should be dead. The Carnation guy's like, he's there.
Yeah, and he says, increase the radiation.
Because they love it. They just love it. And he does, and they get better, because they're starting to get a little sick, I think. But like, yeah, they like the radiation. The astronauts. The three astronauts from the capsule. Yeah, then Liz has a new outfit. What is it?
Is this the hat?
I think it might be the hat.
Just a very nice hat.
She changes clothes a lot. Yeah, because they cut to James' office again. She's there. She doesn't do anything in the scene except have a new hat. In comes the bad guy. The Carnation guy, who, by the way, no longer has a carnation. He is now the general. He's like he's got like military clothes on and stuff.
Wait, that was the same guy?
Yes.
Oh.
Your face thing?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, Carnation guy and the general are the same.
Gotcha, I'm following. I'm on the same page.
And he's like, yeah, I'm the bad guy, but we had to do it. But he explains why he was bad. Like, Unit was left out of the loop because Unit is international and they wanted to keep it local.
Yes, and here's the thing. They know that they think the radiation is contagious. Radiation that can be, like, transmitted like a disease.
So it doesn't understand why they tried to steal the capsule from them, even though they wanted. I don't. It's going to wind up in the same place. What was the purpose of trying to steal it?
They didn't want Unit to know what was going on, because if Unit knows, then Unit has to inform all these other people. Like, Unit has to inform other countries.
Okay. It's dumb, though.
Yes.
Okay, so they have them there, though. The astronauts are there. So the doctor's like, I want to see them. And they go, but they can't see them because they are currently being kidnapped by the John Cleese-looking motherfucker.
Yes.
They're going to be taken somewhere else. The general guy is behind this, but he's pretending like he's not.
Right, they've been kidnapped a second time just so that it can be like, oh, we don't know where they are.
Yeah.
But they know.
Some scientists are shot, and they steal it. The doctor arrives too late. Liz notices, like, holy shit, they had a lot of radiation. That's not good. And then a very confusing scene happened that I took me a little bit to figure out. But the John Cleese guy puts two guys in the back with the astronauts and says, keep an eye on them. They don't really want to go back there, but they do anyway. And then he drives out to, like, a coal thing? What was it?
I genuinely don't know.
It was, like, some big
coal thing sounds right.
Thing.
There's just big machinery and lots of
rocks. And shit. The John Cleese guy puts on like a big old radiation suit, opens the back, pulls out those two guys he put in there who are now dead, way dead, and buries them in this quarry. He just like kicks rocks on top of them.
There's like a big pile of rocks, so he climbs up to the top of the pile and just kicks it till it like avalanches down. I don't know why, but I thought that looked fun.
And they're in the back of a van. Or they're in a van.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know why that scene happened at all, except to be like, radiation kills you. In case anyone here was unaware or forgot, radiation makes you super dead, and also these guys are evil.
Evil, yeah. So he drives off and he presses a button and the plates on the van change.
They flip over and the van changes.
Yeah, like there's a big like, I forget what it is, but it's like some, you know, brand, some name of a company, and it switches out to like something else, like Silcock or something.
Yes.
I remember because it said cock, just gonna be honest. So we find out that the astronauts that are super radioactive are not the astronauts. They've been switched out. The astronauts are actually still in orbit. The spacesuited people that we thought were the astronauts aren't actually human, which makes sense. And I don't know why I didn't figure that out earlier.
Oh, you did not?
I did not. So they want to send up another capsule, unit does, and the base wants to send up another capsule to save the astronauts because they're like, they're still up there. Those are not the astronauts. Sir James says no, but Cornish says he's going to hold a press conference in order to make Sir James look like an asshole. And so he will have to. You're going to abandon those astronauts? That's not going to look good.
He says, well, this is what I'm going to do. And he's like, well, don't do that. No. Like, that's his objection. He's like, well, if you do that, I'll look bad. And Cornish is like, uh-huh. That is not going to stop me. That is actually kind of the whole plan.
Meanwhile, there's a scientist that's keeping an eye on the aliens for the bad guys. He's not actually a bad guy.
He's not a great guy. He could be better.
He becomes better.
He learns. He grows.
He's like, he decreases the radiation because he doesn't know that they like radiation. And one of them collapses, so he goes in to check on them and gets attacked by one of the other ones, starts chasing him, but then it passes out before it can hurt him. So he puts it back in the thing, and then he gets a call, and it's like, they need more radiation. That's the trick. And he's like, oh, well, thanks for telling me now, you assholes.
Almost died.
So they get more radiation and they start getting better. So the capsule, meanwhile, they've been working on the capsule that they have, and the radiation is starting to fade. And they're like, we might be able to use that to go rescue the astronauts since it's going to take like 10 days to get another one ready. This one's already ready. And the brig finds out about the dead bodies in the quarry because he did not bury them deep enough, I guess. The brig tells Liz to come meet him there, but it's not really the brig.
No, she gets a call to come meet the brig there, and then like a little bit later, the brig walks in and it's like, hey, where's Liz? And you're like, oh no, oh no!
It's a trap. And then we get a car chase where someone's chasing Liz in Bessie, as Liz is driving Bessie. The car chase started off okay, and then it got a little boring. But then they get out. She gets out of the car and starts running across this bridge.
I don't even think it's a bridge. I think it's like a dam. Like, I don't think people aren't supposed to be on it. Like,
that was more worrying than the car chase.
I knew you in particular were, like, having a problem with it.
Yeah, I have a problem with, like, heights and stuff like that. So she shoves a dude off the side of it.
Yeah.
And he, like, grabs on. And then they throw her over. Like, she flips over the side. Like, she literally flips over the side,
that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah. What is it? What's it called? The handle...
Guardrail?
Guardrails. Thank you. I almost said handlebars.
She flips over the... And, like, I remember thinking, like, is that her? Is that why she's wearing that really big hat? Because it's not her?
It probably isn't her. It's probably a stunt double. That probably is why the hat.
Either way, I'm very impressed.
And then that, it cuts to credits. I'm like, oh, shit. And that was the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, which I've called Briefcase of Death. But do you see why it was of not death? Because radiation, the radiation wasn't killing him. It was...
Yeah, I follow.
It was radiation of life.
But you couldn't say of life.
Right. I had to say of not death. Or else you would
break your own protocol.
There has to be an of and death. But now we are back to just of death. Briefcase of death. They just pull her up. Over the...
Yeah, she's fine.
And, but now they have successfully kidnapped Liz. Told you it was coming. My next note says, the general says, foreign combs.
They've decided this was...
A foreign attack?
A foreign attack. Because they found combs that were foreign. And the doctor... I think actually the brig is like, okay, but anyone can buy, like, foreign products? They're like, look at these combs! They got French names on them. So the brig and the doctor are not convinced.
Yeah, because they're trying to... distract from the fact that they themselves did it.
Yes.
Twice now. And he just, like, really does not want the doctor translating the alien's message. Meanwhile, Taltalian is now back working with everyone.
They've just put him back. And he's like, yeah.
Still was told.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, but, you know, we were trying not to let you in on the thing, and so I was told to whatever. But the doctor comes in. So Tattalion is...
He's talking to Cornish.
Yeah, that's who he's talking to. And the doctor comes in and he puts something in his back.
Thank you for illustrating on me for the listeners at home.
Well...
Tony's put her fingers in my back.
He made a great face, though. What is supposedly a gun in his back. And is like, hey, why'd you pull a gun on me? That was rude. Like, is kind of interrogating him a little bit. And he's like, hey, look, I don't even know what's really going on. I was just told to mess things up with you, so I did. And the doctor's like, all right, great. And, like, pulls what was behind his back, and it's just a comb.
It's one of those foreign combs.
Yeah.
One of those foreign combs you got. But still, Tartalian thinks that the doctor's ideas about the message are dumb. He's like, it's not a message. Because he's still working for the bad guys. And then the doctor gets a phone call.
Oh.
He's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And he's like, oh, that was a ransom call for Liz. I don't give a shit.
No, I mean, okay, here's how this scene goes down. What it is he's like, yeah, I just got a ransom call for Liz.
About time to get back to work.
Listen, you're leaving out, like, the important part. They're like, they said if I don't stop working on this, that they're going to, you know, then I won't see Liz again. And then he's like, well, guess I better get back to work. And so I think somebody says...
I think it might be Taltalian.
Like, aren't you worried? And he's like...
No, because nobody here should be ratting me out.
Right. He's
no
like...
No one will know.
No one will know that I'm working on it unless there's somebody here who will tell them. And like
glares at Taltalian.
There's something about the scene. It's because it's not that he's like, oh, whatever. I'm not worried about Liz.
No, he's playing it.
He is pissed. He's so mad. But none of that is there. The thing is that, like, the best thing to do to get Liz back is to keep doing what he's doing. I don't know. There's something to me in this scene where it's, like, very obviously that he is pissed.
He is pissed a lot in this serial.
Yeah.
He's good at it, too.
Yeah.
Not dealing with people's shit.
3 gives no fucks.
So, but Liz gets taken to the lab, the scientist thing, place where they're keeping the aliens. And she immediately tries to escape by trying the door.
Another scientist is like, yeah, they locked that. Which, by the way, she recognizes the scientist.
Yeah, he's Famas. He apparently disappeared, right? Something like that?
I don't think so. I think they were aware of each other in scientist circles. I don't know if he disappeared or if it's just like, oh, this is what happened to you.
You're Carl. I don't remember his name. It's probably Carl. But yeah, she tries to escape and it doesn't work because people lock doors. That's like keeping a hostage 101. Lock the door. I don't know why she thought that was going to work.
Well, you gotta try. But, I mean, you'd feel really dumb if you were, like, hostage for, like, a whole day and then, like, someone was like, why didn't you just walk out the front door? And you're like, obviously it was locked, but it wasn't. You'd feel like an asshole.
I guess that's true. But the scientist is, like, not comfortable with what's going on right now. But I think he was part of it to begin with, but now he's like,
I mean, they have a scene where Liz is like, well, what about you, you know? Are you a prisoner here? And he's like, I can leave whenever I want. And Liz is like, well, then you're a dick. Yeah. And, like, I feel like enough times of Liz being like, you see that you're being a dick, right? And he's kind of like, oh, I guess, actually, yeah, I might be kind of a dick.
But he has a key, so he can get out. and he accidentally loses it on purpose. He, like, basically gives it to Liz.
He sets it in front of her, and he basically says, I lost that.
You should lock me inside with the aliens.
Yeah.
So that that your escape is plausible. Like, you locked me in there, and then you got out. But he doesn't say it like that. He says it in a way where he's being like, hey, I'm going to leave my key here, and I'm going to go inside with those aliens. I hope no one locks the door.
That's a little bit how he says it, yeah.
So she does. She locks him inside, and then she gets out.
She doesn't get out for very long.
Yeah, she starts hitchhiking.
She gets out. Well, she gets out, and she's running along the road.
She's literally hitchhiking, though.
Is she?
Yeah, she's got, like, her thumb out and stuff.
She's hitchhiking, and she sees...
Well, a car pulls over to the side of the road, and it's Taltalian.
It's Taltalian, and she's like, great, I know him. He can take me back to the base. But guess what? He's super evil, not helpful, and he just drags her back.
I think he picks her up with a... Just opens the door and he has a gun on her, though. I don't think it was like... I don't think there's any point where she's like, oh, yay, it's Taltalian. She's already been held hostage by Taltalian earlier.
True.
So, yeah, she immediately gets taken back to the place she escaped from. And now the bad guys sort of have suspicions about the scientist as well. But he's
it was Taltalian.
No, it was. It was Taltalian.
Okay. He seems more in charge.
Taltalian?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Taltalian's in charge. The John Cleese guy's in charge.
I'm saying he seems more in charge than the people who have been in the thing with the aliens. Like, he shows up and he's like, here's your walkie-talkie that controls them. And he's like, well, I'm going to need more than just that. And he's like, well, this is what you get. And you don't need anything more than this.
But yeah, but like, the John Cleese guy's definitely in control. What happens to Taltalian coming up?
I'm saying there is a ranking thing and Taltalian's in the middle. He's above the scientist and the other guy is what I'm saying. Because he shows up and the other guy is like, well, I wanted to be able to talk back to them and stuff. And he's like, that's not what you need. This is what you need.
Did he get a thing from the doctor? Is that what it is? What the doctor was working on?
No, he didn't get it from the doctor.
Oh, well, what was it? He has a device that can talk to that can control the aliens. Where did he get that from? Did he make it?
I guess.
Hmm.
Because the doctor was trying to make one, and then he finds that, and he's like, oh, this is what I was trying to build.
Oh, okay, yeah. But the John Cleese guy gives Taltalian a briefcase with a bomb in it, and he's like, here, blow up the doctor. This is what that's for. There's a timer. Just leave it, and we'll get rid of this pesky doctor. But he also doesn't like Taltalian, because Taltalian has actually been kind of sloppy, because the doctor has suspicions about him and everything, so he just kind of wants to get rid of Taltalian.
So he's like, basically, when you... do the little thingy on the briefcase. And you, like, slide the things in. What are those things called? The little latchy bits.
The latches.
All right. When you slide the latches in, that'll set the timer. And then before he gives it to him, he slides them in and then gives it to him. He's like, so basically, like, the next time it happens, that'll trigger it.
Yeah, and it'll take 5 minutes for it to go off. That'll give you enough time to get out. But then Taltalian turns around to talk to somebody else, and he quickly resets it to just go off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then hands him the suitcase. They're trying to figure out who they're going to send up to rescue the astronauts. And the doctor's like, me, please. I have not been in space in so goddamn long.
I miss space so much. Please just send me to space. Please. Please, I want to go to space.
And they're like, we'll think about it.
So is it Cornish who he's talking to, who's trying to convince to go to space?
Yeah.
And he's like, are you qualified at all? Like, literally, I don't know you. And he's like, oh, trust me, I'm super qualified. And I love that the thing that convinces him is he does, like, this medical review to see if he's, like, physically fit to go into space. And he's, like, looking at his medical information like, hang on a second.
He's like, yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm super qualified to go into space. And he's like, oh, okay. I don't know. I like that they don't come out and say it.
That he has two hearts?
Yeah, that's like, oh, clearly by all this medical information, you're an alien. He's like, according to this? He's like, yeah, let's downplay it. I don't know. I really liked it.
I think that happens in the next episode. The beginning of it starts here, where he's like, we're going to do tests on you.
But the idea of just that this guy being like, oh, you're an alien. Okay, cool, yeah, fly my rocket. Like,
that's not enough. Like, if I was in a ship taken somewhere to another planet, and I was like, I'm an alien, I can fly ships. It's not necessarily true.
I think the assumption is that he traveled here. So if he traveled here, he has some piloting skills.
He's not, come on, we've seen him fly the TARDIS.
Joe does not trust the doctor to fly or pilot or drive anything.
I don't trust the doctor in transportation. I just don't. That man has no license. I
don't believe that man has ever been to medical school.
Tartaglia comes back, says he's going to rat out everyone. He knows everything that's going on. He's going to spill the beans. If I tell you everything, will you let me go? And the doctor's like, sure. And he's like, well, I got to go back to my car and get some evidence. Let me just set this briefcase here and I'll be right back. And then he blows up. He, like, sets it. He's, like, ready to set the timer. And it just goes off immediately. He's like, oh, fuck! And then dies.
That's the end, right? That's the cliffhanger?
That's not the cliffhanger.
No, because I remember thinking, oh, this is the cliffhanger. And then it kept going, and I was like, oh, no. If a bomb going off and not knowing if it killed the doctor or not isn't the cliffhanger, what is the cliffhanger? Because it, like, cuts back, and, like, the room's all blown up, and he's just gone. And the doctor has, like, one little Band-Aid on his face.
He does.
But, like, it's a bunch of people who's, like, cleaning up the explosion, right, trying to figure out what happened. And he is fine, which almost makes you be like, feel a little bad. Like, that was very ineffective. Bad plan.
The doctor's fine, but he does find Tartaglian's device, the thing that can control.
Yes.
Aliens.
And that's what I'm looking for. The device, by the way, I think we said is like very basic. So you can tell the aliens, stand, sit down, walk. You can give them commands. You can't communicate. I think they're talking to them, and one of the buttons is murder.
I don't think it's like they're necessarily controlling them. They're just saying, hey, do this. And there's the threat of cutting off their radiation.
If you don't do this, yeah,
we'll cut off your radiation. They're being blackmailed more than being controlled. Which, why don't they just go touch those fuckers and be like, which one of these buttons gives us radiation? I mean, I guess they are being kept in a room. So they're not actually bad, you guys. They just have death touch. They're like Rogue or something. The John Cleese guy finds out that the doctor's not dead. And he's like on the phone being told this. And he literally says, like, the doctor must have 9 lives. More than that, buddy. Way more than that.
If you only knew.
It's like 4 or 5 more than that. At least. So, but he sends out the aliens to storm the unit base. And they are immune to bullets. Because everything's immune to bullets. But yet, that doesn't stop unit from shooting.
In Doctor Who, you can basically assume that a gun isn't going to work. Because Doctor Who, not a big fan, I don't think. But you always have unit that's going to be like, oh, we should try shooting at it, though.
But the alien, like, there's like a big, one of those, what are they called? The things that come down.
Oh.
Gate, I guess.
First of all, is that the sound it makes?
It's a gate. There's a security guard at the gate. He's like yelling at it to go away. And like the alien grabs the gate and it shocks the guy. Which is just conveyed by a big red blob on the screen. Like pixely, like with a loud crack noise. And a big red overlay. And like the alien just goes in and starts shocking the shit out of everyone. Meanwhile, the doctor calls up James. And James, by the way, at this point is like, we should just tell the truth. We should just say what we're doing. And the bad guy's like, no, we shouldn't. The general. But James is like ready to tell the doctor everything. He's like, all right, I'll tell you everything. Just come here.
And the doctor's like, he's like, I'm getting in the capsule and going. And he's like, how can I
stop you?
Yeah. He's like, you can tell me the truth. If there's a good reason for me not to go, then I won't.
And he's like, well, come here and I'll tell you. And then he hangs up, and then the alien shocks the shit out of James, kills him. And then he goes over to his safe, busts open his safe and takes something. And then the doctor comes in, cannot see the alien because it's hiding in plain sight.
Behind a door.
And he just goes over to Sir James, like, oh shit, what's wrong? And then the alien comes behind him and like reaches out for the doctor. The doctor does not see him coming. And that is the end of episode 4.
It's not as strong as a cliffhanger.
It's not as strong
as an explosion.
There's an alien with the death touch reaching out for the doctor.
That's true. It's scary.
That's the end of episode 4. We're now into episode 5, Dinner of Death. So the brig comes in and starts shooting the alien, which kind of works. The alien leaves, but locks them in there.
I think the alien was just like, I don't really want to be shot at. It's rude.
It's also like, I wasn't told to kill these people, so I'm just gonna leave. Maybe he wasn't even gonna hurt the doctor. Maybe he was reaching out for help.
Maybe he needed help, yeah.
And the brig comes in, guns a-blazing. Shoots
him. So he just locks him inside the room instead.
And the doctor examines the bullets.
They've been squished as if by some sort of force field. There's a big discussion about rocket fuel.
Yeah, there's like an experimental type of rocket fuel.
I think what it is it's like, we don't have enough of this. We're gonna mix 2 different types of rocket fuel because we don't have enough. There's like type A and type B, and we're going to mix them.
If we do too much of one of them, it'll make it go too fast, and we won't be able to handle the G-force.
And the doctor's
like, pshaw.
I can handle the G-force. And he's like, you cannot handle exploding. And he's like, oh, okay, good point. Which, how do they get out of, they just get out of the room?
Probably.
There's no thing in your notes between that scene and this scene.
I guess they get, they get let out. What happens? Somebody breaks down the door.
All right.
I think it might even be, what's his face? Benton. I think Benton might have let him out. Meanwhile, back at the evil lair, John Cleese is bragging about just how evil he is. And he's like, oh, I killed people and I got this thing and I'm pretty great about it, huh, Liz? She's like, you're an asshole. Fuck off. And she continues to try to guilt the scientist into
being less of a dick.
I don't think he's a dick, just a coward.
Joseph, if you're a coward, you're a dick.
I'm a coward? I'm a lover, not a fighter. Not a scientist either.
What you're trying to say is you're just not very useful.
Exactly. So don't kidnap me and force me to do your will, because I'm just going to be really bad at it, really. So the general is like, you shouldn't do the rocket launch because it's going to fuck my plans up. If you're going to do it, why don't you just strap a bomb to it and explode the thing up there? He's like, because it's probably just more aliens and the aliens are bad and let's explode it.
I love how Cornish is like, that seems a little extreme. Like, calm down. We don't even know anything about them or what's going on. And he's like, nope, explode it. I want to explode it. Let's explode it. Because I feel like normally you have one guy who's like, let's explode it. Let's fight everyone. And everyone's like, okay, for no reason. I feel like it's nice that everyone's like, what are you talking about? No.
We'll get to his, like, eventual plan, and it's the dumbest fucking plan.
It's the worst plan.
But we'll get there. But meanwhile, Liz's guilt has finally worked on the scientist, and he doesn't have his key anymore because the whole previous escape attempt.
They took it away from him.
But he's, like, talking to a lackey. And he's like, hey, look, they're dying. Something's happened. We don't know what it is. I need to talk to the head leader. And he's like, the head leader's not here. He's like, I need to go talk to him. Let me out. And he's like, no, they're supposed to let you out. And he's like, you're not supposed to let her out. I'm fine. So do you want these things to die? If the aliens die, it's on your head. Let me out. He's like, okay. And he's like, all right, and keep an eye on her, which is just him play acting. And it's great.
I was going to say, there's a reaction shot to Liz and she thinks it's the best thing.
Yeah.
It makes her laugh.
And he's basically going to go, I think he's going to go to unit.
He's going to go to unit. Liz has convinced her, like, go to unit, ask for the brig. They'll put you in protective custody. They won't let you down. Spoiler alert, they totally let him down. She's like, go to the brig. If you go to the brig will protect you. The brig's like, oh, yeah, yeah. He gets, like, a call and says, like,
it's from Bennett.
Oh, yeah, it's from Bennett. And he gets a call and he's like, this guy showed up. What do I do? And he's like, put him in a cell. I'll be there as soon as I can.
I'm too busy right now. We're about to launch the doctor into space. Which is what they do. They launch the doctor into space. He's an astronaut now, you guys.
Space. You were super excited during that scene where he's getting launched into space. Because you were like, space? We're going to space? I miss space. That was you.
It was me. Meanwhile, though, the John Cleese guy finds out what Liz and the scientist are planning, gets mad, and leaves to go take care of some business. And then we get the doctor in the space capsule waiting to be shot into space.
He's so impatient.
He's like, can we just go?
Also, he has no time for, like, complicated space jargon. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, how much longer do I have to wait? And he's like, it's T-minus whatever. And he's like, I assume you mean half an hour. Like, he's not, there's another one.
I don't remember.
I don't know either, but they use some sort of jargon. He's like, I guess you mean this. Like, he's...
Yeah. Just snarky and wants to get in space already.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the John Cleese guy is running around the base.
Oh
like
my god.
He's fucking Wile E. Coyote.
So ridiculous.
He's fighting people and throwing them over things and like twisting big... I'm having trouble with words. What are they? The
wheel spinnies.
The wheel spinnies. Twisting like knobs and shit. And he's fucking with the fuel. He's basically making it more of that other stuff. It's supposed to explode the thing. Doctor's in.
He gets into with like a ridiculous disguise. And he, like, walks in, and then the guy's like, hey, wait.
You want me to fix your plumbing?
He's like, you're not supposed to be here, and he, like, judo chops him, like.
Yeah, he's like, here's my paperwork. Come really close and look at it. Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is, but he's an excellent villain in the most cartoon way possible.
And the scientist, meanwhile, is in the cell, and he's like, you're going to lock it, right? You're going to lock it. Ben is like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll lock it.
I'm putting you in a cell. That's...
And then someone brings him some dinner. And he opens it up and it's got an isotope in it. So he's dead.
Well, this child's like, no. You gotta trust units the best. They'll totally protect you. Don't worry about it.
I think it was the general who did it, though.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't exactly fair. They were outranked.
They're about to lift off with the doctor. And then Brig finds the leak and, like, rushes back. And he's like, stop it. And like, it's too late. And the capsule takes off with the doctor in it. And then the doctor's face goes all wobbly. He's like,
was that straight up acting?
I think it was acting.
Was there some sort of wind on his face? Or...
I don't know. It was a very effective thing.
If that was just straight up acting, that's so damn impressive. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. It was funny. And I liked it.
So there's too much of that other fuel. It might shoot him into the sun. And they're like, we can't control it from here. You have to do it manually to fix this problem. But there's too much G-force. But he's trying to like fight against it to get it corrected. And he has to wind up jettisoning George Jetson, the Flintstones. Stop staring at me. It's not helping. He has to jettison something or other, and that'll, like, slow it down. So he eventually does, and then his face is fine. His face stops being...
so wobbly.
Things are okay now. And he links up with the capsule. He gets to the capsule, the one that's supposed to have the astronauts in it. But then something else starts coming towards the capsule on the radar screen, and it's a giant spaceship.
That's
weird
good.
Looking one. It, like, looks organic to me. Not like the spaceships we've seen before, which are, like, very...
Saucer
or metal. And, like, this looks crusty and like a crab or something.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it. I'm a fan.
It reminds me of the spaceships in Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, kind of. But that's the...
End of episode 5.
The Doctor's in space, you guys! Mm-hmm. Excited. We're now to episode 6, which I've called Decontamination of Death! So, communications stop with the Doctor. They can't talk to him anymore. And they're like, that ship's going to collide with it. And then it does. And then we see that the capsule is on board this new ship. They've abducted the Doctor. They're like, we want to talk to you. And he's like, okay. And he starts putting on his helmet. And they're like, no, air's fine. We fixed that for you. He's like, okay. And he gets out. And he just steps out and then, like, slowly drops down. Slowly descends.
As in, he's on a separate layer, and that layer just gets moved down. Like,
right. He doesn't exactly float down. He's a completely separate element.
Yeah.
He's like that screen from the beginning of this serial. And then he walks off into this light at the end of a tunnel, because it's like a big birth canal looking thing.
The Doctor is birthed, and he walks into this room, and guess who's there?
The astronauts!
The astronauts, and they're so...
Did I guess right?
What?
Did I guess right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't guess. I saw the episode. I'm sorry I cheated.
They're so delightful. They're in this, like, weird alien room, and there's this box.
It's not that weird, though. It's actually the waiting room that the Doctor and the Brig were in the last episode. It's very similar. It's different colors, but it's the same room.
What?
Yep. Right before the Doctor takes off, him and the Brig have a moment, and the Doctor's like, this is kind of a shitty, like, view for, like, your last moments on Earth before leaving Earth. Remember?
Yeah.
It's the same room.
It's the same room?
It's the same room. I'm, like, 95% certain.
But there's this, like, screen, and it's just showing, like, static and making weird sounds, but they're all acting like they're watching a football game.
You assume it's football. It's probably not football.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Cricket?
I mean, it's probably football.
Football.
Soccer.
It's a sport. A sport is occurring and they are watching it and like, oh no, yeah. Like, your team's losing and etc.
They're being very palsy and it's cute.
And the Doctor talks to them. They're like, when are you going to let us out of here? We've been here for a while. But not in like a, when are you going to let us out of here? But like in a, just hurry up, you guys.
Yeah. They're not really that worried.
They think they're in quarantine on Earth.
On Earth.
And the Doctor's like, no, you're not. You're being held by a spaceship. And then, like, some weird music starts playing, some great music. And they go blank. And they sit down. And they just, they're not there. They're being brainwashed, basically. Then the little view screen comes on, and there's an alien, this little blue guy. And he's like, we sent some ambassadors to your planet. We want them back. We don't know what you're doing with them.
Like, why haven't you sent them back yet? What the heck is going on?
And he's basically like, we will give you your astronauts back, when you give us our ambassadors back, you fuckers kidnapped them. The doctor's like, it wasn't us. I'll take care of it. Send me back. That's basically what happens.
Yeah, basically, if you just give me some time, I can resolve everything without... Because they're like, if we don't get them back, we're just going to destroy the planet.
The doctor gets back in his castle, and he starts heading back to Earth, and communications are restored. Calls in and is like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of things. I don't have the astronauts, but they're safe. But he doesn't say anything else. He doesn't let them in on what's happening. Because the general's there, and he doesn't want to tip his hat. Because nobody trusts the general, because he's sketchy and he's evil. And then... we have this scene where we see the aliens, because we saw the alien on the screen, but it was like kind of blurry and hard to see because it was like pixelated and stuff. Mm-hmm. On purpose, not like it was a bad thing. But then Liz is going in to check on the aliens in their cell, and one of them takes their mask off and we see it for the first time.
It's frightening.
It's not even like the makeup's that frightening or whatever. It's the way this scene is edited.
Yes.
It just slowly builds up to him taking the thing off, and then it just starts like getting really crazily chopped.
It
properly
cuts
edited.
Between her and him, and cuts back and forth, and
there's like scary music playing. It's like terrifying.
Yeah, like exactly like that.
You're just like, I'm pretty sure I audibly reacted with, "Oh shit!"
Yes, you did.
Because it was terrifying. Anyway, they're blue.
Which, this is the first time that Liz really has confirmation that they are in fact aliens and not just astronauts.
And then the John Cleese guy comes in and is like, oh, took care of the doctor, probably, and I killed that scientist, and we need you, Liz, to take over his job, because we need a scientist, and I just killed the other one. And she's like, let me think on it. But the doctor gets back, he has to decontaminate for an hour, which, you know, that just makes him happy. No, it doesn't.
I like that there's a bit where it's like, oh, you're lucky. It used to take a week.
Which probably means it normally does take a week, and they're like, some nerds are going to be mad about that. Let's just pretend we've made advances in science. Because technically, this is supposed to take place in the future before they fuck it up, right?
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Or the 70s? Or the 80s?
I think right now they've been pretty consistent with it being in the 80s.
They have been?
Yeah, I think it's just later they forget. Because I don't think they've specifically mentioned, and I feel like they're acting like it is a little bit in the future. But I think it's going to get fucked up.
Soon.
But the John Cleese guy has come back because he's heard that the doctor's still kicking. And the guard just lets him in, too. This place has terrible fucking security. Just the worst. So the bad guy goes in, Wile E. Coyote's with the decontamination thing. Oh, the doctor's in a robe, also.
Yes, he is.
It's great. He's like in a bathrobe waiting to be decontaminated. But then, like, poison gas starts seeping in there, and he passes out. John Cleese guy kidnaps him and leaves with him. And the gate guard just lets him out, too. That guy's gonna be so fired. He let the aliens in, which I don't think they killed him. They just shocked him.
There was a scene, too, where it was like, it's this scene where it's like, they realize that he's taking the doctor, and it's like, quick, call the gate. Don't let him let anybody out. And then it cuts to him letting the truck out.
Yeah.
And like, the phone's ringing, and he's like, huh? What? Don't let anyone out? Oh, shit! That's like, I gotta go stop that truck. The guy's not doing a great job, so we're saying.
The general is like, he really wants to blow up the spaceship. And he gets a call from the John Cleese guy. And the John Cleese guy is like, the doctor's dead. He's dead. I killed him. But he didn't. He just wanted to tell him that he did.
I think he wanted another scientist. But he didn't want anyone else to know that he had another scientist. I don't think he's on board with the plan overall so much as he is just like out to get power.
I think it was mostly just to have the audience go, the doctor's dead? And he's like, the doctor's like, you're a dick. And I'm like, oh, he's not dead. And then Liz and the doctor have a really cute moment where she's like checking on him. Because he's laying on the floor because he's been gassed. She's like making sure he's okay. They're cute.
They are cute.
He tells the doctor, I want a communicator so that I can talk to the aliens and they can talk to me. And the doctor's like, all right, I'm going to make a list. Here's the things I'll need to do it. He goes out to go get that stuff. And Liz is like, what are you doing? And he's like, fucking with him? Come on.
What am I always doing?
You think I'm dumb?
How has this always gone every single time? Come on.
This is just, he's doing the thing the Daleks did in Power of the Daleks. I need this list of things. What do you need that for? Oh, it's for good things. Trust me.
I am your servant.
The doctor's putting the stuff together and the general shows up, sees the doctor clearly alive, and he's very mad about it. He's like, well, I guess I gotta do the thing. Pulls a gun on the doctor. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And we are now into the last episode. Already? Seems fast. Episode 7, Telecast of Death.
Telecast of Death.
Telecast of Death. John Cleese shows up and is like, hey, no, don't kill him. He's going to make us a communicator so we can talk to the aliens and they can talk back. And this is the point where the bad guy reveals his motivation and his plan, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
To be fair, everyone thinks that this person is a little bit bonkers.
He is. He went to Mars. The general did. He met these aliens on Mars. They killed his friend accidentally because they didn't know they had, like, radioactive touch.
One of the astronauts touched one of the Martians, and it was like, oh, when you touch a Martian, you die.
These Martians, I guess.
Yes.
Why did they make it Mars? I guess because it's close. But also, the Ice Warriors are already from there. What's our second group of Martians?
Well, it's the Silurians.
Silurians?
Silurians live here, and so do we.
That's true. That's
so
fair.
That's a similar situation. It's a whole dang planet. There's room.
So, the aliens killed the general's friend, the other astronaut, accidentally. He thinks it's on purpose, but it was accidentally. But the general's plan is to use... Okay, so he kidnaps these aliens. He's using them to kill people to get the public to hate them so that the public will be like, we should kill the aliens, and then they can kill the aliens. This is the worst fucking plan I've ever heard.
Yeah.
This doesn't make a lick of sense. You're killing your own people to make these aliens look bad so that you can kill the aliens when you've kidnapped the aliens and you could just fucking kill the aliens. Right?
I do think that there's one guy who just wants to, like, rob banks and shit.
Oh, that's the John Cleese guy.
Okay. I don't think he gives a damn about the plan.
Right.
He's just like, yeah, these things are super powerful.
They're super weapons.
Yeah, I'm going to use them to rob banks. I'm going to use them to, like, basically just get whatever I want. The general's the one who, like, has this plan. So I think a lot of the killing might have been done, like, without his knowledge, too. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going down that, like, isn't part of this, like, let's make hate the aliens plan. There's a lot of stuff that's going down that's just this one guy being like, these things are, like, fucking toys.
Still a terrible, sloppy plan.
I'm just thinking a lot of the part that is sloppy is you have two different people with very different ideas of what the plan is. And they don't care about the other one.
I also think it's terribly sloppy to reveal the bad guy's motivation in the last episode. And then when you get it, it's like, oh, that's dumb. This is really dumb. He doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm not a fan of it. But anyway, the doctor gets to work on the device. The general leaves with one of the aliens.
Okay.
Just one of them. There's three of them, by the way. We did say that. Did we say that? There's three of them?
I don't think we did.
There's been three of them this whole time, you guys. So the general leaves with one of them, but two of them stay behind in the cell. And he's taking it...
To a TV station,
yeah.
To reveal that it is an alien and that it's evil and to tell the public that we need to kill some aliens.
But meanwhile, John Cleese is taking the other two to steal isotopes, to power them up, basically. And they're killing police and everything. It's bad. It's a whole heist situation. But the general's like, using this is like, see, they're stealing stuff and killing people. It's bad. And the Briggs like, there were humans there helping, though. We don't know that they're bad. They might be under their control. And he's like, no, I still want to kill them. I think I still want to kill them. They're getting the telecast ready. The telecast hasn't happened yet.
No.
They're getting it all set up.
The news anchor is a dick. Because they're trying to stop the telecast at some point. It's Cornish and the Brig. And they're like, look, don't you understand that, like, if he does this, like, you're going to basically start, like, an intergalactic war and that's bad? And the news anchor's like, yeah, that sounds like it'll be excellent ratings, actually. So, it's just, he does not care. He's pretty terrible.
Bad guy brings the aliens back and the doctor's still futzing with the machine. It looks like him and Liz are playing battleships, but they're working on a machine. The doctor starts tapping out a code and is like, are the aliens reacting at all? And she's like, no, but he's not really sending it to the aliens.
He's sending an SOS to UNIT.
Which SOS...
Joe learned something today.
SOS stands for Save Our Souls. Did not know that. I don't know how I didn't know
it. I bet they have a whole scene where it's like, nobody uses that code anymore.
But the doctor does actually make a thing to talk to them. Because
it's helpful. We want to talk to them.
And the aliens are just like, why are you using us to kill? We don't like this. Please stop. It's kind of fucked up.
It's sad. Really fucked up. Like, we came here to talk. We came here in peace to, like, talk about how our two planets could, like, get together. And we've been kidnapped and used to murder people.
And the John Cleese guy's like, don't care. If you don't help me, gonna let you die. So, tough. Tell him that. Tell him that, Doctor. But then the spaceship aliens call down to the brig and the general and all that and say basically what they told the Doctor, which is, give us our aliens back or we're going to fucking destroy you. And the general's like, see, they're going to destroy us. We gotta kill them. The brig comes in and is like, I've got news from the Doctor. He says that the aliens aren't bad. I'm gonna go save the Doctor and save those aliens, too. And the general's like, no, you're not.
No, 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 no.
Arrest him for helping these evil creatures. So the brig gets arrested. The brig escapes because he's the brig. They're like taking him. He's like, I don't even remember what he does. He's just like, hey, what? Your shoe's untied. Knocks the guy and steals his car.
That sounds right. That sounds legit.
But he does steal a car and they're shooting at him. But he gets away. He gets to unit, but his car is all fucked up. He's like, I can't take that car.
By bullets.
He's like, we'll need to take another car. And like, we don't have another car. Why not? I don't know. You know what? There is one car we can use, Bessie. So there's like 5 unit guys in the brig, all crammed into Bessie, driving to storm this base.
I don't know why that makes you so mad.
It doesn't make sense. I don't care because it's funny and it's great. But it doesn't. There's literally no other vehicle they could take. None. But then a shootout happens. They don't go to the base. They go to where the Doctor's held. That's where they go. The Doctor's told them where they're at.
Yes.
So they go there and they fight the guards there and shoot them. And the brig's doing fisticuffs with them. It's pretty great. That's a pretty good fight scene.
Yeah. I say that as somebody who's frequently bored by fight scenes.
I think he like even shoves a dude down the stairs and comes in like saving the fucking day. It's great. And the John Cleese guy pulls a gun on the brig and the brig shoots it out of his hands.
Yeah.
It's great.
He comes to save the day.
And the brig's like, well, we gotta go take over the base because the general's taking over. And the bad guy, the John Cleese guy even, they're like, well, how are we going to do that? And he's like, John Cleese guy's like, fucking use the aliens. That's what I'd do. And they're like, you know what? You're not wrong. But I'm going to do your idea, says the Doctor. Not in the shitty way that you do it where you're like, hey, fucking do this or else. I'm going to be like, hey, do this because it's going to help you and we want to help you.
Yeah, he kind of gets on the thing and is like, okay, listen, we're going to return you to your planet.
But we have to defeat the bad guys first, yeah, basically.
In order to get there.
So, UNIT and the aliens come to the base. The aliens start walking and they start shooting at them. And the Doctor's like over a megaphone being like, hey, don't shoot them and don't touch them because it will hurt you. Just let them through. And they open the gates and they go in. Cornish gets arrested by the general because he's gone power mad. And he's like it's time to start his broadcast. But then we start hearing those sounds we heard from the beginning. And the aliens enter. And then a fight kind of happens. And the brig arrests the general. They're not bad. You're the bad guy. Stop being a dick.
He gets his men back, too. Yeah. So he has more men there so he can arrest the general.
And then they release the alien that the general was going to unveil. The bad guy's leaving and, like, talks to the Doctor and is like, you understand why I had to do it, though. I had to do it. The Doctor says, yeah, I understand. But why? I don't know. You're an idiot.
He says it multiple times, yeah. There are multiple times where he's like, you understand. This is what I had to do. And the Doctor's like, yeah, I understand.
Why? I don't understand at all. You're a dick.
Don't know. I don't know. I feel like the attitude is maybe that, like, this guy is so bonkers, there's no point in trying to reason with him.
Maybe, yeah.
Because the way he does it is a little, like, condescending.
There.
Yeah.
Guess so.
I don't know if the attitude is just like,
I mean, I guess he's like, this guy was traumatized because his friend died. Like, it's he has this fear because of
something terrible that happened to him.
Yeah. Trauma. PTSD, I guess. I don't know. So the Doctor's just being kind of nice, even though that guy's a dick.
It is. It's another thing, though, where you can tell he's kind of pissed. He is keeping himself composed.
The Doctor is basically like, well, I'm going to go now because I got other shit to do. And they're like, well, we still got to get the astronauts back and everything. He's like, let Liz do it. And he just leaves.
I told Joe, I said, how pissed do you think he is that he just can't, like, warp out of there anymore? And he's like, he really wants to do the, like, dramatic exit, but he's got to go take a car home.
Like, sort of walks out. Which, they, if this had been, like, the first or second Doctor, we would have seen the mission to get those astronauts back. I'm kind of glad we didn't. It does kind of fizzle out here at the end. It's just sort of like, and we're done.
Anyway, bye. I guess we fixed it all. I guess this is the end, so.
That's it. That's the Ambassadors of Death. Before I jump into my final thoughts, there's something I completely forgot to mention in this. I'm surprised Tony didn't bring it up and make me talk about it. There's a character in this serial that mention at all.
How did I not bring this up? Your girlfriend's in this episode.
There's a character that could have easily have been a computer.
For all of the lines she has.
She works at the base, and she basically says what the computer says. She's the character from Galaxy Quest.
And you only ever see her, like, you only ever see the shot of, like, her face. And that's it. I mean, literally, the shot starts at, like, her neck. It's this one close-up.
She is the most attractive human being I've ever seen. I love you.
He stopped mid-sentence. He was telling me something, and then he stopped talking because she was on the screen. He literally stopped mid-sentence and went, hang on. Because she was on for 3 seconds.
Her hairdo's nice. She's got these, like, little curly cues.
Uh-huh.
And her face is, like, nicely shaped. It's, like, long. It's a long face. I enjoy long faces, I guess.
Okay.
It's a nice structure. She's got good makeup on. Her hair's nice. And she's cute. I don't know.
She's adorable. I've never seen you as attracted to any human being as you were to this lady.
I looked her up. She's not really been in anything else.
There's one scene where I think...
It's when the aliens storm in and everything.
The aliens storm in and you actually get more of a shot than just her face. It's like a little bit of her torso and her face. And Joe went...
Well, no, I didn't go, because of that. It's because she screamed and I was worried for her.
She's old now.
Yeah, she might be dead now for all I know. Who knows? She hasn't made anything past like 78.
It was bizarre. Your reaction to it was bizarre.
I don't know. It was a very striking face.
I've seen you be attracted to people before, and that's normal. I've never seen you stop mid-sentence so that you could stare at someone harder.
Okay, so my one goal has been to get Paul F. Tompkins on this podcast, but I'm willing to drop that if we can get whoever this lady is on the podcast.
Oh my god.
I mean, I love you, Tony.
Right?
But I don't know.
You don't know?
I feel like I might need to reevaluate some things.
Dang, okay.
No, she's probably like really old now. She's gotta be like, what? At least, let's say she's in her 20s there. It's like 50-something, right? 60-something. Anyway, let me tell you my thoughts on the serial. All in all, it's not bad. The plot's a little messy. It's kind of just there a lot. Nothing terribly exciting happens except once per episode there's like an amazing action sequence. But the rest of it's just kind of there. The shootouts are great. The fights are great. The chases are great. The dude going around doing Wile E. Coyote shit is great. But everything else is just kind of... I do kind of like that the aliens weren't bad. They were being used. That's interesting. Like, someone's using them as weapons. That's an interesting idea. I don't think it was very well. They didn't really do enough with it. But that's partially because you don't really get to see the aliens' side of it that often because you can't talk to them. I think it would have been a little more interesting if we could have talked to the aliens a little bit longer. Or I feel like if stuff had happened earlier. Like, if we've been able to talk to the aliens earlier and see that they were not willing to do this, or if we got the bad guy's motivation a little earlier, it might have been a little bit better. It seems very sloppy and weirdly laid out. Nobody in it does a bad job. Like, everybody in it is pretty good, except I don't know what that guy's accent was. But the actors are good. The alien design was really nice. The spaceship was really cool. It was great to see the Doctor in space again, and it was really well shot, and the music was weird and great. There's a lot of great elements in it, but... all together, it doesn't quite come together. But again, not bad.
No, yeah, I think there's a lot of really great elements here that sort of fumble around and fail to be one cohesive whole. I'm really sort of digging the theme that we're going with of, like, the military kind of sucks. I was trying to think of how to phrase that, but that's kind of how it's presented here, is that there's altogether too many people who are willing to just sort of show up and make quick judgments and be violent, and not enough people who are like, have we tried talking? Have we tried holding a hand out for a handshake and saying, hey, how can we help? Have we tried that yet? That seems like it's going to be a pretty big theme. Which is interesting of like, hey, we're basically going to put the doctor in the military and have him be very annoyed about it. That's an interesting route to go. Because there is like an ability to make him authoritarian, I guess. And yeah. Like, you're going to be like, yeah, the Briggs is best friend. But instead you have this kind of push and pull between the two of them.
Yeah, it's sort of like the doctor in the military having to do military stuff, but also him sort of pulling the military around to his viewpoints.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Where it's like, I just, you know, want to do science and talk to people. The idea of, like, having these ambassadors, and it's just, like, the idea that, like, a couple dickheads from Earth could screw everything up was very frustrating to me to watch. Because it's like, oh, man, that one or two guys is, like, going to get the whole Earth exploded because they're so dumb. And that's too real. It's too real.
Because they're scared of aliens.
Yeah, that we can just have one or two dickbags screw everything up. Very frustrating and believable. I believe it. Because when you're dealing with something where you're like, you know, you have whole planets that are like being represented and talking to each other, there is no way to be like, well, this is what Earth wants. And if like the worst people get to represent Earth, you're like, oh no. Oh no, what do we do? I guess we get exploded. I'm trying to like individually point out the stuff that I really liked about this serial.
Because Liz's outfits.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff here. There's so much to like. But it's a little bit frustrating that it didn't have, it could have had more of a punch if it was, I don't know, reworked a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of good elements, a lot of good pieces, just not put together greatly, I guess.
That's my thoughts.
If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. You can go to iTunes, search for the Watchathon or Assalon. We are there. You leave a comment like, you guys are great, or whatever. Or you guys, you make me laugh. And if you rate and comment, we will get higher up in the search results for like Doctor Who and all that stuff. So more people will listen to us. So please help us out there. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us watching the episodes and me saying, oh shit, uncut video of the podcast records and see Tony pointing and doing thumbs ups, and day early episodes, all kinds of cool stuff. So check it out. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Which again, I'd like to say special thanks to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode. Thanks, Matt. You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. Repeating things is always funny. What was the phrase?
Yeah, no, you've screwed up your own bit.
I did.
That hinges on the fact that you repeat it exactly the same way every time.
Repeat saying things the same way twice. Funny, right?
Now that was it. Now you have to go back and cut out every time you've said it, because you did not stick the landing.
Nope, I totally stuck the landing. What are you talking about? Nailed it. Anyway, tune in next time when we talk about the season finale. We're already there, you guys.
Wow.
Yeah, it's only like 4 or 5 serials this season.
Wow.
But that one is called Inferno. I've actually heard really good things about that. We will have special guest Christopher LeBron Cherry. No, his name's not LeBron.
His name's not really LeBron. We just call him LeBron.
It's Chris Cherry, you guys. Chris Cherry's coming back. But that's it. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Do it or else.
It's all right. I won't hurt you.